Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Happy Friday! Isn't that keyboard player so great up here? I mean, the whole worship team is great, actually. That's my daughter. Okay, you guys. We only have three more chapel sessions, including this one. I know. Do you guys feel like full sponges yet? We have covered a whole book of the Bible. We're almost about to cover the whole thing, but I know there's been a whole lot, and I know that you're not going to like really be able to probably remember everything and do everything, but there's going to be a couple things that stick, and my prayer for you guys is that those things grow and blossom and bear fruit in your life. And today, we're getting down to the end of the book, and we got some nuggets. You know when you write a birthday card to someone or a note, and you haven't planned appropriately for how much you want to say, and now you get to the very bottom, and you're like, and you start writing really small, and maybe like you bend up the side of the card, or you do the arrow that like points to like where the rest of the message is. Okay, that's kind of what we're getting to here with Paul. Back in the day, like writing and papyrus, it was actually expensive. You didn't just walk into a store and like take a notebook or get some stationery. So when you were writing something, usually you had a set size of paper or papyrus, and you would have to write everything out. That's why like ancient Greek didn't have any spaces between the words, because they wanted to maximize every single like space on the paper. And so it's a little bit like Paul knows he's getting to the end here, and he's got to like fit some important things in. So we got some really good nuggets that we're going to go through here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Philippians 4, verses 2 through 9. Let's read this together. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord, help these beautiful nuggets of wisdom, these short reminders that Paul gave to the Philippians, lodge themselves in our heart as well. These things are so practical and they're so doable. I pray that we would want to carry these with us. So help them get into our hearts and our minds right now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So as you noticed, it's like it doesn't really flow like a narrative or a long argument. It's just kind of like bullet points, like boom, boom, boom. Do this, do that. Don't forget this. Think on these things. And so we're going to go through just each of these sections and kind of flesh out what each part means. So first he talks about getting along. Then he says rejoice. Then he says be gracious, or maybe your Bible says gentle. He says don't worry. Amen. Right? Then he says camp out on good thoughts, or dwell on these good things, and then keep imitating me. So let's dive in. Get along. Euodia and Syntyche, two ladies in Philippi, are fighting. Anybody been in a fight with a friend? Okay, how'd it go? Did you make up?
Yeah.
Okay. When you were in the fight, was it very fun?
Yeah.
No, it's not fun to fight. Usually. Okay. But these ladies are fighting, and remember, Paul has a mission, and the Philippians are his fellow co-workers on this mission, and they want to highly honor Jesus, and they want everyone to win the prize and get to know who Jesus is and enjoy the beauty of the gospel together. But when people, especially people who know Jesus, start fighting, it distracts from the mission, doesn't it? If you're on a sports team, you guys are trying to win games, right? But if you get teammates who are fighting or have beef with each other, does it help your team function the best it can to win the games? No. And man, Satan knows this. Satan loves this strategy. He loves to cause division by getting people to fight each other. Now, conflict is going to happen. There are going to be things that you're going to disagree with other people about. You're not always going to get along. You're not going to like what people do. But Jesus has given you all the tools to fix the fighting, hasn't he? When someone does something wrong and they've hurt you, what can you do? What tool can you use to fix it? Say it again. Forgiveness. Or grace. You know what? Sometimes you just take one for the team. And even if they don't apologize, you know what? I'm just going to be a gracious person and I'm going to overlook the offense. Or you go to them and you tell them what happened and you try and work it out and you have a conversation. And what's so cool is when you use those tools to get over the fight, usually you become better friends than you were in the first place. Because you've shown love to each other, right? So these two ladies who have been working side by side with Paul were part of his like initial team, or like kind of the church plant group, I guess you could say, in Philippi. They're fighting, and he's like, oh, guys, I urge you to get along in the Lord. And I love that little tagline that he puts on there. Even if you can't get along in your power or for human reasons, can't you get along because you're both saved by Jesus? Can't you at least find that agreement to say, we both love God, we're both forgiven, in the end it's not going to matter because we're both going to be in heaven. So like, at least in the Lord, can you get along? Remember what Jesus said in his big famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. The people who can find a way to make peace are blessed. And he says, I know that, Euodia and Syntyche might be a little bit too in it to be able to, like, step out and get along. But all of you around them, help them. Help them. Be a person that can help bring resolution to the conflict. Does anyone have that in their school, by the way? Is anyone like a peer leader or something? Do you guys have like a process sometimes? I know like some playgrounds actually have like a conflict resolution thing where you stand here and you take a step towards the other person and you know like what's upset you, what's upset me, and yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? I love that schools are doing that. You're one of the helpers. You're one of the peacemakers helping people get along. And if you do that, you're blessed. Okay? So get along. And then I just want to mention this. He says, remember that they've been some of my co-workers who's, they've been along my side, along with Clement, and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. And right there, he's kind of reminding us that, you know, when you believe in Jesus and you're forgiven, your name is written in this book. The Old Testament refers to it in multiple places. Revelation mentions it. But it's this idea that God knows you, he knows your name, and you're on the in list. All of us should want our names written in that book. Okay, next one. Next he says, rejoice. Rejoice. Here it is again, our theme of joy in Philippians. And Paul's kind of a witty guy. He's doing a little bit of a play on words here, right? You English people, repeat. What's common among these? Repeat, return, recycle, rethink. The re, right? Re means again. Repeat again. And rejoicing, when you break that word down, to rejoice is to repetitively be in joy or proclaim joy. When you rejoice, you're so happy. It's like, oh, it's not good enough to just be joyful once. It's like this overflow. It's like joy is just being produced over and over and over, coming out of you. Go back one? Okay. Whoops, wrong way. Is that the one? This one? Okay. Let me know when you're good. Everybody good? No? How's your day going? Pretty good? Yeah, cool. Ricky? Were you going to sing the song if it came to you? So hard under pressure, though. Right, Abby? Yep. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Did I miss one? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Excellent. Okay, we're good? Okay, let's get back to rejoice. If you didn't get them all, come see me afterwards, and I'll share them with you, okay? So leave some space in your notes, and I'll help you get all those things on there, okay? All right, so we're rejoicing, but isn't it funny? Look at how he says it. Like, rejoice naturally means to, like, keep on joicing, all right? But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. See what he did there? See what he did there? I will say it again. Rejoice. He wants, like, kind of the primary activity of the follower of Jesus to be rejoicing because God is so good. And even with all the evil, with all the nastiness, with all the struggle and the suffering, at the end of the day, it's still all good because God's goodness and God's love is going to overwhelm everything. So no matter what's going on, keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing always. Now this is where we have to put in some effort. Remember how we're supposed to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling? The gospel has provided us everything for free. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But we still got to build our boat. So rejoicing always is a mental choice that you have to make. It's an attitude that you have to decide to take on. And it's an activity that if you do it, your heart will follow. You guys know the thing about when you're feeling bad? That if you force your face to smile, you'll actually trick your brain to feel a little bit better? Because your brain's like, okay, we're smiling now. Even though there's a bear that's about to eat me, I guess things are okay. All right. So it's kind of like rejoicing. When you don't feel like it, when you feel like complaining and grumbling, stop and rejoice. Always. And it will benefit you. Okay, next one. He says, be gracious. Or how many of your Bibles do say gentle? Does anyone's Bible say gentle? Okay, we got one, a couple. Be gracious or gentle. And they kind of both mean the same thing. But the idea is a kindness to someone even after being mistreated. So in human terms, if someone has mistreated you, right, kind of the fleshly response is to like punch them in the nose, all right? It's violence, or get back at them, or go talk to someone about, you know, what they've done, and, you know, like bring justice, fight against them, okay? But a gentle person, instead of being violent or aggressive in response to being mistreated, is actually kind. And it's really beautiful how this works, because usually when you offer graciousness or kindness in return for being mistreated, it's kind of like medicine. It's sort of like an antidote to the illness in the other person, right, that's causing them to mistreat you. And even so, you avoid the trap of getting pulled into being evil. You refuse to return evil for evil. So be gracious, he says. And it doesn't matter who. Be gracious to everyone. Be gracious to all. This could be your enemy. It could be your friends. But be a gentle person. You guys want to be a gentle person like this? Wouldn't it be great if your responses were always with gentleness and graciousness? I bet people would really like that. Okay, next nugget. You guys okay? Can I flip? Okay. Don't worry. This is such a good one. This is such a good one. Don't worry, or don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Who naturally gets anxious? Let's just admit it, okay? I used to think that I was like a really tough person, and I, you know, didn't get anxious about anything, but as I've gotten older, I've realized I'm a pretty anxious person, and I have been since I was a kid. I learned how to cope with it. I learned how to shut it down, but usually anxiety will leak out into other behaviors that aren't great, okay? Whether it's like trying to control every situation or trying to forget things and, you know, being irresponsible because you just don't want to like face the things that are making you worried. Anxiety can mess with us a lot. But here's the thing. Worry, when you worry and you feel anxious, that's really like a fake catastrophe trying to be important, isn't it? I'm not talking about like your house just burned down, okay? If that's real, okay, that's something to be concerned about, and we need to take action and figure some things out, right? But worry is like, oh, what if my house burns down? What would I do? And if you let that go too far, all of a sudden, it's sort of like the pretend catastrophe, the thing that you're imagining has become real. It's bringing all the pain into your life as if it really happened. So it's a small thing. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. It's a potential future that's trying to affect you as if it was the real thing. And if you let that fester, it can get in your heart, it can get in your mind, it can cause a lot of stress. People who are anxious oftentimes probably get emotional a lot, and kind of the worst part is because like of that worry in your heart, that sore that is like deep down, you're kind of sensitive to everything else, and sometimes you get snappy with people, or you're sort of mean, or, you know, people are like, she doesn't like me. And it's not that, it's just because you're so worried you don't have the room to be nice or kind or gracious. So worry really can be a problem. It's kind of like a crack in a hoof, okay? You have this big animal, a cow or a horse. Anyone work with horses or cows and know like the care that you have to take with their, okay? So you shoe a horse to help them. But even so, animals can get things stuck in their hoof. And this is one of the beautiful parts of the internet. I have come across all these videos of people taking care of animal hoofs, okay? So you potential veterinarians in the audience, you're going to love this. All right, so let's watch the video here real quick. All right. Was that pretty cool? All right. If you look, you can find some that were like, the juices like burst out, you know, or like sometimes they have rocks and stuff. But the reason that makes me think about worry is because like with that cow, she had a small crack, but then the crack turned into a sore, and then it got buried under the hoof. And that's just what worry is. Worry is like a small thing that happened to you that like gets buried deep in your heart, but it keeps bothering you, and eventually it makes you lame. You can't put any pressure on that, right? Now, how do we fix that, Paul tells us? Pray about it. And I think prayer, your prayer life is a little bit like going to God and saying, something in my heart really hurts. I got something stuck in my hoof. And he props you up. And as you pray and as you offer your worries to God and as you tell him what you're feeling, it's like he's taking that knife and he's peeling away the layers. And the more you pray, kind of the deeper down you get, and yep, it's a little bit tough, and maybe it stings a little bit sometimes, but he's exposing the thing that's really bothering you. And then once that is uncovered, he can heal it. He has what is needed to heal you. And what is the end result? Do not be anxious about anything, but submit your prayers and petitions to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is big enough to handle every worry that you could possibly have. He's in total control, remember? And even if you have to go through some suffering or some difficulty, in the end, if you're with Jesus, you win. It will be okay. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that freak us out or make us worried, but if you can offer those to the Lord, tell him what you think you need. That's what the petition part is, to say, okay, you know, Jesus, I need help. I need a friend. I need this situation to be fixed. Just keep giving it to him. And get down to that thing, and it'll heal, it'll be okay, and you'll have peace. You'll start walking again. It's really a beautiful process. So I don't want you guys to worry. I want you to pray. And I want to share with you a quote. This is from Mother Teresa again, but this is another great way to think about prayer. She says, love to pray. Pray often during the day. Looks like I goofed that up. Oh, I'm sorry. Love to pray. Feel often during the day the need for prayer and take trouble to pray. Okay, she's admitting that it's a discipline, that you might not want to pray, but just find the time, find the space to pray. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Isn't that beautiful? And the reason I think this fits so well with anxiety is because anxiety, that little tiny sore, can expand in your heart and push everything else out. You know what I'm talking about? When you're worried about something and it's hard to think about anything else. Okay, but when you pray, it's like your heart is getting bigger and God can get back in that space and bring you the peace that you need. So learn to pray. Learn to pray. Okay. Don't change it? Okay. How about this? How about you come and see me? If you don't have it all yet, come and see me and I'll give you the quote, okay? Just so we don't go too long here in chapel. But I promise I'll come back. Or copy off a friend. It's okay to copy here. It's like we can cheat for Jesus. Okay? It's awesome. Okay. All right, next one. Camp out on good thoughts. Okay, here we go. This is another nugget, but it's so good. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, dwell on these things. Dwell. We live in dwellings, okay? Dwell means to live in. It means to, and you get to a place where you're going to stay the night. You're going to dwell in a tent. You're going to stop. You're going to be there for a little bit. And Paul says, I want you to stop and I want you to live in good thoughts. All the things that are good. And what an awesome list, right? It's pretty interesting. He starts the list with truth. So first of all, find the things that are true. Where do you find the things that are true? In the Bible. Okay? Again, how we think, if we're being truthful or positive, that affects our entire life. If you have negative thoughts or untruthful thoughts running through your brain all the time, man, it's hard to live for God. So that's why you gotta get the good thoughts going. But dwelling, think about that for a second. Take time to sit in or live on the things that are good. Brain power distribution. How many of you have spent more than 30 minutes thinking about the idea of justice? Okay, maybe a couple of you. Maybe you want to be lawyers, all right? How many of you have spent 30 minutes thinking about your favorite sports team? Or what you're going to do for your friend's birthday party? Okay? So your brain has a ton of power and it's got a ton of like energy. And we put it towards all kinds of things that are good things and fine things, but maybe not the best things. And Paul's saying, look, I don't want you to just like quickly breeze over these things. I want you to think about love. I want you to think about truth. I want you to think about justice. People who go into philosophy probably know this a little bit better. Like it's this idea of contemplation. But what a great way to use your brain power. When you're doing your devos in the morning, this is really what you're doing. You're taking the truth of the word and you're spending some brain power on God's truth to really understand it and to know it. And this, again, is a discipline. It's not easy. You got to put in some effort. But just think about that. Think about all the things that you spend time on thinking about. And then say, okay, how many of these things are really the best things that God wants me to think about? And put some brain power towards those things. Okay, last one. He finally says, he comes back to this. He's like, keep imitating me. Do what you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, Paul. He's like, I've spent a good chunk of my life trying to show you guys. I came and I lived with you and we had conversations and we worked together and we laughed and we cried and we had late night conversations and you can see how I'm trying to live sold out for Jesus. So keep imitating me. Did any of you think last night about someone that you could maybe try and imitate when you get home? Did you actually put some names down? I hope you did. And if not, if that hasn't come to you, remember, pray about it, right? Pray about it. Because I really believe that God answers those prayers and he'll bring people into your life that can help you. But everybody needs someone to imitate. So those are the nuggets. They're good ones, aren't they? Okay. You have a lot of tools in your toolkit, and I pray that some of these things will stick and that you will keep adding these things to your life as we go. All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then you guys can head to Cabin Devos. Father, thank you so much for these little nugs again. And I pray that you would help us do each of these things. When we forget, remind us. And as we keep reading Philippians throughout our life, I just pray that these things would come back to our minds so that we can continue to add these things into our walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.